the claim is that healthcare.gov is fixed to the point that it works for 9 out of 10 consumers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It's a bit like Apollo 13, technological disaster followed by a desperate engineering struggle by government employees and contractors. In a conference call with reporters yesterday, federal officials assert that healthcare.gov, the website for people to buy insurance under the Affordable Care Act, is now functional about 90% of the time. Marketplace's healthcare reporter Dan Gorenstein joins us to give us an update on the site. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, David.
So it sounds like consumers are going to have an easier time using this thing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, according to a new report from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the site's performance is up, way up. The error rate, you know, when pages would crash, has dropped from 6% a few weeks ago to less than 1% today. And it's just quicker. At the end of October, consumers were waiting about 8 seconds for a page to load. Now it's under one. But the big thing here, David, is that lots of people can be on the site at the same time, up to 50,000, and the site doesn't crash, which means it can handle about 800,000 visitors a day.
A useful attribute, but consumer use is just part of the equation, right? We've been hearing about the so-called back-end troubles where insurance companies can't get the info they need to complete the enrollments.
Yeah, that's the big question. In the call yesterday, officials said they put in some patches and upgrades to deal with some of those problems. And let's not minimize this issue here. Insurers are saying some consumers believe they've bought plans on healthcare.gov, but the company can't find any record of it. In other instances, key information is missing, like how much federal subsidy someone should receive, so insurers don't know how much to charge. It's a mess, and it could only get worse at the start of the new year.
Which is right when new insurance is supposed to kick in for people who sign up by December 23rd. What is the government's next move now?
While CMS has made all of these upgrades, one of the biggest changes appears to be the management structure. They're now holding war room meetings twice a day to monitor problems in real time. The hope is that this new structure and more time to focus on back-end problems, now that the front end's doing a little bit better, will help them drill down and get to the bottom of this issue.
At the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
We'll know more about America's housing market as the week wears on. Later this morning, the official tally of construction spending. On Wednesday, fresh figures for sales of new homes. Many of those buying will use that classic of personal finance, the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, which last week was averaging 4.29%, higher than last year, but not bad at all in the grand sweep of history. But there is a growing discussion about whether the 30-year fixed is here to stay. Marketplace's Adrian Hill has been looking into this. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, David.
So it's clear the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is really an essential part of the economy.
Yeah, it pretty much is. About 90% of new home loans in the first half of this year were 30-year fixed-rate loans. So if you look around, it's a common species in the U.S., and one that, as you said, is really pro-borrower. These are fixed-rate loans with no prepayment penalty, which means you don't carry risk if interest rates rise or if interest rates fall. And if you look around the world, most places have a lot more risk on the borrower.
Well, how might it work in a different country?
France, for example, has 15 to 20-year loans, and they like their prepayment penalties there. In the UK and Australia, the adjustable rate mortgage is the norm. And in Canada, they have a rollover mortgage, which is where the interest rate on the loan is fixed for about 5 years and then resets to market rate at the end of each period.
So how come U.S. home buyers are so lucky then?
The really short answer is the government. Here in the U.S., a huge percentage of our mortgage funding comes through government-backed securitization.
All right. So what might the mortgage market look like if the U.S. were to step back from subsidizing the mortgage market even more?
If the government got out of the mortgage business altogether, we could see a much more expensive 30-year fixed-rate loan if we see it at all. Some people think it would just disappear. As far as alternatives, some economists I talked to think fair, adjustable-rate mortgages could actually work really well in this country. There are concerns about how you help the borrower manage any potential bump in payments when the rates change.
And this is the classic discussion that we'd have at a time where, like now, interest rates are reasonably low and reasonably stable. But if ever returned to the Carter or early Reagan administration levels of interest rates, The discussion will be so different. Exactly.
You know, another suggestion I got that was even more radical than adjustable rate mortgages is from an economist who suggested we have loans where we all start off with bigger payments up front that fall off over the life of the loan. And the idea here is you're paying more principal up front and makes you sort of less likely to walk away.
So interesting. Well, we'll see if any of this actually takes root in policy. Marketplace's Adrian Hill, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
On April Fool's, many in the news media got suckered in by a fake press release in France about a public-private partnership to deliver packages via pilotless aircraft. I thought it was bunk, and it turned out to be bunk. But here we are, 7 months later, to report that Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos wants to someday deliver packages with drones. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark has more.
When Amazon's Jeff Bezos showed a video of a drone landing in a backyard with a package in tow, CBS's Charlie Rose was suitably impressed.
Wow.
I know this looks like science fiction. It's not.
But even if GPS-guided drone deliveries become technically possible for Amazon,
I just don't know how something like this scales.
Sucharita Mulpuru is an online shopping analyst for Forrester Research. She estimates that Amazon delivers at least 1 million packages a day.
You would need a lot of drones to go back and forth between a warehouse.
And then there's the question of getting all those buzzing drones approved by the FAA. But all that may be beside the point, says Mulpuru. A more pressing concern for Amazon is the very real threat of rising postal costs. Mulpuru says trotting out a drone is a sexy way of showing that Amazon can deliver on innovation in general and less about whether it will actually ever deliver a package to your doorstep with a drone. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.